I love that video. I love it because really it's a call to arms and say, listen, it's time for us as a body to wake up, to stay alert, and to keep watch. Keep watch, because the enemy is on the move and the church has a responsibility to respond, because if we don't, then he is going to advance his purpose. And I believe that God's ultimate plan and purpose will prevail, but there is an ebb and flow that happens at times. And you know in your life that when you feel like you're advancing and when you feel like you're stuck or you're not. And there's a constant battle between the spirit and the flesh as far as who's going to win. Because the spirit is always willing, but the flesh is weak. God's promises are yes and amen, and they are true. But we have to align ourselves with those promises and continue to move forward. And when the Bible talks about the kingdom suffering violence and the violent taken by force, it is a violent kingdom. It's violent. And what do you mean by that? There is warfare that is constantly taking place over your life, over the community, and over the nation. And if you can get a sense of that, it will help change your perspective on how big this is, how small you are, but at the same time that God wants you to be a part of it and that we are a part of it whether you want to or not. You have enlisted in it. You have enlisted. And so we have to do our part to stand ready, because the enemy is throwing arrows. He is throwing stuff. He is bringing stuff out of our past back up. He is trying to do everything he can to distract, to thwart, and to devise, but you have to stand ready with your armor, ready to go to battle, because it is getting more difficult and it's getting harder, because I believe that the Lord is really wanting to pour out his spirit on the earth and get his people ready, but there are so many in the church who are still floundering, who their lives are in the balance right now. They're in the balance. And they're either going to make a decision to go forward and say yes to God, or this is it. They're going to say, I just can't do it anymore. And we're seeing that now, because it's hard to be a Christian. It's hard. You already wake up in warfare. You wake up. I woke up at 2:30, wide awake, keenly aware that I was in something. Keenly. It was like a reminder. The Lord said, hey, you know, we are in something right now. And just started to worship, because that is my weapon that I use so that I can win it in the spirit realm. Because coming into what God has called not only myself, but our community to come into, worship is a weapon. And God has to remind us to, hey, listen, use the weapons that I've given you, because you're not wrestling against flesh and blood. You're wrestling against principalities and powers. There are rulers of the darkness of this age. There are things you don't see that are coming against you right now. And that's why you can't fight it physically. You have to fight it with the weapons that I've given you. And the weapons that I've given you are mighty in me. They're mighty in me. For pulling down strongholds, pulling them down, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, you have a responsibility to take that captive and condemn it. Strongholds, a false argument, to which people seek shelter to escape reality. I'm gonna say it again. A false argument to which people seek shelter in order to escape reality. People are running into stuff to hide that's not giving them any sort of release or freedom in order to escape from what actually is happening in the world today. And God is saying to his church, I need you guys to get out of those areas, to come out of hiding, to realize what you are in right now. You are in one of the most difficult, but the most beautiful times, if you will look at it that way. Because God is getting ready and setting the stage up to do something miraculous in the earth today, and he's chosen you. And the invitation goes out to you and says, will you be part with me? Will you be part? Because I'm watching, the Lord said. I'm watching. You know, he's the greatest watchman. So he's already on the wall. He's not just on the wall, he's on the throne. And so he's seeing and looking, and his eyes are going to and fro and saying, okay, that one needs my help. All right, they're seeking me, I'm there. They're seeking me, I'm there. They're seeking me. How's your seeking? They're seeking me. They're seeking me. They're engaged. I know they're struggling, but they're engaged. Don't allow the enemy to tell you just because you're struggling, you're not engaged in the fight. You should be struggling with something. something you're struggling with. I'm just trying to make progress with God. God says, good, I see you struggling, and my grace is sufficient, and I'm going to pick you back up, and I'm going to give you the strength to continue to move. I love you. I love you. That's what I'm looking for, God said. I'm looking for someone that I can show myself strong on their behalf, that they're in the game. At least they're trying. At least they're stepping out. At least they're doing something. That's what God's looking for. When God looks at his people, he's saying, listen, are they striving? Not just striving, but are they moving toward me? And all the distraction and everything that's being said and everything that's being thrown at them, are they still moving toward me? And God said, I know you're weak. I know you have problems, but I'll take you through it. And if you can just look for me in the midst of it, don't let this virus take you out. Phase 3, 8, 12, it doesn't matter. Don't let it take you out. Whatever you feed will grow. If you feed your fear, fear is going to grow. And then before you know it, it's going to overtake you and you won't be able to do anything. But if you starve fear with faith, all of a sudden that grows bigger and that doesn't seem as big. Starve it. Take it out. That means when the enemy comes in like a flood and he comes in to condemn, you got to starve that accusation with truth and say, no, I am who God says I am. It does not matter. I take my thought back. I take my life back from you, and I take access that I've given you back. Because I know who Jesus is. Thank you, Lord, that my mind is set upon you. Thank you that you said you would keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast on you. Thank you that I'm steadfast. Thank you, God, that you swallowed up my emotional deficiencies. God, that you've given me the power. You give me the power to walk in victory. You give me the power to walk in wealth, health, prosperity. Thank you, God, that the enemy's trying me because he knows what you're about to do. He can sense it. Thank you that I'm being tried. Yeah, start saying it that way. Instead of saying, I can't believe. Thank you, Lord, for trying me. Thank you, God, for allowing the enemy to try me. I know it's difficult, and I know you don't want to do it anymore. Just say it anyway. Thank you, Lord, through the tears. Thank you, through the struggle. Thank you. I want to give up. It's okay. Get up. Do it again. A lot of we don't think, oh, well, Jesus said, no. You don't think Jesus felt that way? If he didn't feel that way, how can he not empathize with you? You don't think the Garden of Gethsemane was a reckoning moment for him? Where he had to decide whether or not I was going to go through with this or not? Remember, three times, Lord, take it. You got to take it. You don't think that he was thinking thoughts? A lot of times we think, well, he didn't think thoughts. If he was tempted in all points like we were tempted but did not sin, you know that he is reliable and able to sustain you in your messed up thought process that you have about stuff because he has felt that weight. He had to go back to school to learn it. You understand, Isaiah, come on now, come on. Isaiah 42, verse 5, this is what God the Lord says, the creator of the heavens who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and I will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. This is the prophetic word of God the Father speaking about Jesus. Why was he saying this? Because Jesus was about to go to school. Oh, man. You remember, he left heaven. He was in glory. He left it and had to go down and learn what sin felt like. Learn how to resist temptation. Learn how to do it like we did it or did not do it. And so God the Father is saying, hey, there's a couple things I want you to see before this happens. Because you're about to leave me and you're about to go down to them. And I want to make sure we get this right. Because if we're not careful, we'll miss out on the relationship, the genuine relationship that Jesus wants to have with us, because he said, I've been there. I know what it looks like to have it all, have to lay it down, and then have to come learn something all over and learn something new in order so I can relate to you. I created you, but now I'm going to learn how to relate to you. And so God the Father said, hey, before you go, I just want to let you know I'm with you. I'm with you. Because there are going to be times where you're going to wonder where I'm at. There are going to be times when you're going to wonder what happened. But just so you know, I love you. I'm going to read this again. I want us to get it in. This is what the Lord God says, the creator of heavens who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to his people and life to those who walk on it. First of all, number one, his credentials are right here. His credentials. Okay? I am the creator. I stretched out the heavens and the earth. I give breath to everyone in it and life to those who walk on it. Hey, I'm the author. I'm the creator of everything. Without me, there's nothing. I gave you breath. Without me speaking into existence, the world as you see it, there is no world. So just so you know, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the one who was before the beginning. I'm the one who created it all. I'm the one who thought this out. You didn't think this out. So just so you know, I stand alone by myself. I have it all mapped out the way I wanted to map it out. I created it. I know how it's going to work. I give you breath. Okay? Just so you know, those are my credentials. All right? Nice credentials. To open eyes that are blind, talking about Jesus, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness, or another word for that, those who are not important or unimportant. So he said, first of all, I want you to know this. I affirm you. I affirm you. I'm publicly stating right now that I affirm you. Where do we see this? When Jesus is being baptized in the New Testament. A voice comes out from heaven and says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Immediately before Jesus walks into ministry, God the Father says, I affirm you publicly in front of everyone here today. I am letting everyone know that I am pleased with you. I am pleased with you. And you're going to need that. Because my spirit's about to lead you into the wilderness to be tested. So you need to know today that you're affirmed, that God loves you, that he has a plan for your life, because you're about to be led into something that's going to test you. And God always affirms before he sends you into something. Always. Because he wants you to know, hey, by the way, you're about to go through some stuff and feel some stuff you haven't felt before, but I just want to let you know I love you and I'm for you. I affirm you. I have to let you know this because there's going to come a time where you're going to want to say, I can't do it anymore. Can't do it. And if we look back over coronavirus, rewind to January where we were celebrating about restore and God's going to do a great year and it was going to be awesome and God's going to restore back. And he did do that stuff. And people were getting stuff back and taking their life back and walking by faith. And all of a sudden it's like, there's a virus that's out of there. People start freaking out. What does that mean? We're shutting down everything. People are running around trying to figure out, what do we need to do? Trade has stopped. The president's in meetings 24/7. They're trying to figure out, what do we do? Do we stay open? Do we not stay open? People start dying. We start to realize that there's stuff happening overseas that have happened prior to this that we're not getting all the information on. People start getting crazy and start blaming everybody and start figuring out, okay, is it China's fault? Is it not our fault? And all of a sudden, okay, we're going to start shutting things down. You can't work, but you can work. You can't work. I don't know. You might be able to work. And so all this stuff, we don't know. We don't know. Restore. Restore. March hits. I don't know. And here we are in this period still, in this phase 3. And we look back, and from that period of where God promised something in the beginning of the year to where we are now, where are we at in our faith walk? We're still a little bit unsure. But what God's going to do. The church hasn't stopped. Well, the church is closed down. We have not stopped. You understand that, right? Online,
doing stuff behind the scenes. Church has not stopped getting things ready, trying to create community so people don't fall off the deep end and say, you know, it's not worth it no more. Because it was a test of where people's faith were and where the relationship with God was. I thank God for those that are like, yeah, we're still walking, we're limping, but we're walking. We're walking. I'm more careful, but I'm walking. And but God's still restoring. And even in that, and I believe what God was, he's done a lot of things, but even in that, God used it to restore the fight back in people so that people can get realigned and start to fight again because they look back at their life and maybe they weren't doing what they were supposed to do. But it caused you to go one or two ways, one or two. I'm either going to move forward in God no matter what, or I'm taking a permanent vacation. I'm out. And in your head right now, think of the people over the last 6 months who have exited stage right, your right, my love. Or have had a crisis of faith. Crisis. But God said, hold on, but he said, beginning of the year, I'm going to tell you, I'm giving you a word, restore. I'm going to restore. I'm telling you, I'm going to restore. Nobody saw it coming though. But remember the word. If you were listening, remember, I still want to do that. Jesus, remember, when you start going through your testing, remember that I love you. Remember that I'm for you. Remember that I'm not against you because he's going to try some stuff. He's going to try some stuff. And we know that he passed, he got out, and he started to call his disciples because not only does he affirm, he confirms. The Bible says that out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, he confirms. Anytime you confirm something, you say, okay, that is correct. That's correct. We're in baseball season and playoffs right now, and sometimes when a referee doesn't know what to do, what does he do? He looks over and says, what do you got? That's what I got. Good. This is what it is. I'm confirming your decision. Okay. So Jesus is in the wilderness, and he's being tested, refuting arguments, just refuting them. I want you to notice something about Jesus. He wasn't hiding from the enemy. Okay? He wasn't hiding. So he wasn't doing one of these things. Oh, gosh. Holy Spirit told me he's coming. He wasn't doing one of these things. Hope he don't see me. One of these things. Oh, God, he saw me. Right? He faced him head on. You know, because we do that. You know? Man, I hope you don't bother me today. I hope you don't bother me. Oh, man. And we arrange stuff. I hope you don't bother me. I'm going to do the least possible because I do not want any conflict today. I've had enough. And so what we do is we learn. We get smart sometimes. We think, well, I'm just going to avoid it. And if I avoid it, then it won't happen. But God's also smart. And God says, if you avoid it here, I'm just going to bring around the back end right here. So you think you're out of it, but in reality, I'm going to keep you in it. Because I need you to realize the strength that you have in me and not to back down. Remember, not to back down. I affirm you. Hey, I affirm you. I love you. I've got a call on your life. I'm going to redeem it. Okay? I'm confirming it. I've confirmed it. I'm sending people to confirm stuff left and right. You got people just confirming things. They're giving you words of encouragement. I'm confirming it. Just so you know, because he's coming. He's going to come. Okay? But hold on. No. No. You know, God knows how to peel you off the wall. If he created a plant for Jonah and then also allowed the worm to eat the plant, he can make that wall so slippery. You got no choice but to get out. We don't realize that God has the power to push us toward what we need to confront. And if you're not confronting it, you got no chance of winning. This was Jesus' little training ground right here. For 40 days, he had to beat this guy. And we know he beat him again eventually. But remember, if Jesus was God and fully man, he had to go through the stuff that we had to go through in order to be able to empathize with us and also strengthen us. So he also had to beat the devil so that he can show us how to beat him. You notice that Jesus was never stuck, right? There were times of decision, OK? Okay, he had to make a real decision in the garden. That was the only time really say, okay, he got to make a decision here. What's he going to do? But this is why he came. This was his purpose. Okay, I've got to make a decision. Am I going to complete what God has asked me to do? Okay, because if I don't, we're in trouble. He wrestled with it, confronted it, but said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And that is where we got to get to. The fastest to that prayer wins. You get to that prayer, you're winning. You stay behind and be like, no, I don't want to touch nothing. I don't want to confront nothing. The longer you stay in obscurity, the longer you stay outside, I believe, of God's perfect will for you, because it's never meant for you to avoid or to hide, but to confront and overcome. Okay? Know that is to confront and overcome. Why do we say that? Because God was already in the garden walking to Adam and calling out, hey, where you at? Where you at? It's not like God was waiting. He doesn't give us a chronological order and say, well, God waited a few days. It all of a sudden, it's the Lord started walking. Hey, where you at? I was hiding. Well, who told you? Because God will force you out of hiding. You got to come out. Come out from wherever you are. Come out. Just come out. Because if you don't, God will force you out and you'll have to deal with it in that way. Either way, you're going to confront it. Either way, you're going to confront it. So you might as well wake up. All right, we're just going to go after it today. Okay, we're just going to go after it. Because you know what? It's going to come back around and slap me on the side of the head. I'm going to have to deal with it today. We're just going to go after it. I may not win today like I should, but guess what? I'm going to learn something. I'm going to get back up. I'm going to do it again. Because God never said, I want you to stay out here on the outskirts. I'm always going to be coming for you. I'm always going to be pushing you. I'm always going to be sending you. The third thing is he sends them. He affirms them. He confirms. Then he sends them. He starts his ministry. He begins to learn what it is to walk with the Father in this realm so that he can understand what it's like for us to walk with the Father in this realm. So now we have a great high priest who's not only able to empathize with our weakness, but now lives to make intercession for us. Why? Because he's done it. He's been there. He's overcome. So now that's what he does for us. You can make it. You can do it. The way I see you is not the way you see yourself. We got to work on that reflection. We got to work on it. A lot of times we think we're just going to avoid stuff just because Jesus is God. Well, he's God. He can supernaturally do it. You know how he does it? By perfecting. By perfecting the walk. How many of you guys, God's done miracles in your life? You've seen miracles, right? How many, 9 times out of 10, you know that most of the time I had to walk through stuff? Oh, man, right? I got to walk through stuff, right? I got to walk through it. I got to walk through my own shadow. I got to beat my own thing down. I got to take that thing and put it subject to me. 9 times out of 10, that's how it works. God gives you the strength to deal with it, but it's never gone fully. Bible also says that the devil left him for a season. And I don't want you to think that he left him completely, because you know, as Jesus started his ministry, you know he popped up. You know he was, the Bible doesn't talk specifically, but you know as the Holy Spirit was with him, the enemy was in there in his ear about stuff. You know about the woman in adultery, you know who she is. Why do you even love her? You know he's having a dialogue about with him. You know he's talking to the Father at the same time. The enemy's trying to whisper in his ear about stuff. He's got to deal with that at the same time. Do what God has called him to do perfectly, by the way. Perfectly. So now that we can be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, we are perfect in his sight. You understand that, right? Because of what Jesus did, not just because he was God in heaven, but because he learned to be God down here. He's got it in both realms, and he won underneath. So now there's no excuse. He sits over all now. So he says, if you want it spiritually, I'll give it to you on a spiritual level. If you want it naturally, I'll give it to you on a natural level, because I've been tempted. I know what it's like. And if you want it In another way, you want it all crazy? I can get things crazy if you like to. It's Halloween. You want to get freaky? I'll tell you about some stuff we did down there. You got to be careful with this stuff. Because a lot of times we think God doesn't know. He don't know. He sees stuff you don't. He sees what's in the darkness now. He sees what's lurking. He sees what plan is being devised and schemed to take you out. He knows what the enemy is about to do. Peter, the enemy is asked. He wants to sift you, but I'm praying for you. Jesus goes into Gethsemane. Hey, stay here and pray, man. Stay here and pray. All right, he comes back. They're sleeping. Can't you guys tarry 1 hour? Don't you understand what's about to take place and go on? Yeah, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry. I'm just tired, man. Like, following you is like hard work. You never know when we're going to get taken out. Goes back, same thing. They're sleeping again. Listen, you've got to pray and guard yourself against that. The reason why we're doing what we're doing during this month is so that we don't fall back into temptation to where we feel like the old way was better. The old way was not better. Look at your life. It wasn't better. So we're praying that we don't fall back into the trap of the old way, Peter. We're about to do something here that's going to revolutionize the earth, guys. I need you to pray. I'm about to die for your sins. You don't have no idea what I'm about to do. No idea how I'm about to resurrect your life from the grave. No idea what I'm about to pay for you. I need you just to help me. Stay in it with me. Encourage me. I need it during this time. What I'm about to do. Don't take lightly the sacrifice that he made for you. So that now he can look at you and say, there is no excuse. There's no excuse. I got you. But you got to come after me. There's stuff that's trying to come after you. I can see it, the Lord said. I'm watching it. I can see it. That's why I'm knocking on your shoulder at 2:30 in the morning and say, pray, worship. It's coming. It's coming. You got to get in. You got to get in the right frame of mind. It's coming. It's going to come back up and say, you should quit. You know the drill. You know the story. You know what goes on in your head. It's coming. But I'm praying for you, and I'm fired up about it. You should be, too, thinking about it. I got something for you. I'll give you rest. That's great. But understand, don't avoid this day. Get back up. Get around community. Relate to me. Remember, I'm the one you can relate to. Isn't that what God is trying to say to us and do during this time? Hey, look at me. Don't look at them. I wonder how many times God goes through this daily. Here we go again. We're going down again. Going down. I got you. You stay close to Jesus, you feel yourself slipping, guess what? I got you. Get up. This doesn't have to be the last time you do it. Get up. Come on. I got you. I'm sending you this season. It will never be the same again. Never. Never. And for those that are asking for it to be the same, it's never going to be the same. It's never going to be God doesn't want it the same. 9/11, it was never the same after that. Coronavirus, it'll never be the same, okay? And so you have to learn to adapt to it not being the same, okay? So that means that we have to get the strategy that we need to be effective now moving forward as a church, as a body, as a nation. And so God has set it up so that we can start seeking him again, finding out what that is, and realize, okay, I have to move forward. But just so you know, I'm with you. He'll always tell you before it happens. And even when you're in it, he's speaking to you. Don't think that God just lets you go and be like, I just figure it out. He's speaking to you. Sometimes God will say, all right, I just want you to, come on, use your will. Use your weapon. I've already done it. I'm asking you to do it. Because until you see that you can do it, you'll always think that I have to do it. But we can do it together, but I need you to see that you can do it. She's not in here right now, but, you know, my daughter Lexi struggles with anxiety, okay? Because she has an autoimmune disease. We talked about this last year. Seems like ages ago. And now she struggles with anxiety because of that autoimmune disease. Certain things trigger it, okay? So we have to help her get past the mental block that says she can't do something because of what might happen, okay? It has not happened yet. But what might happen torments her. And so we have to help her get into a position of where, no, we're there. Mommy, Dad are there. Guess what? Jesus loves you. You can do this thing. Don't worry about it. And anytime she starts to feel that she's getting back into an emotional state, okay, who loves you? Mommy, Daddy. Okay, who's for you? Yes. So affirm, confirm. Now get back out there and do it again. I'm not going to let you lose out on an opportunity for growth just because you don't feel like doing it today and your emotions are not in the right place. Guess what? You're getting out there and you're going to do it again. Even if you have to cry the whole time. Because then it teaches her, wait a minute, I'm stronger than I think because I did it. Let me just say something about this too. We talk about the idea of our physical health connecting with our emotional health. I feel really good today. God's awesome. Okay, so we're just talking. Everybody good? Okay, so our physical health, our emotional health, our spiritual health. If you look, I look at my daughter Lexi right now. She is literally working out four nights a week through cheerleading. Okay? If you look at her, she is skinny, but she is, her core is tremendous. I'm going somewhere with this. Hold on. Okay? Okay? She is strong right now in her core. It's because she's out there doing something consistently. Every night, even when she feels like she doesn't want to do it, ask Misty. I don't want to go tonight. I know, baby, you've been out like four nights a week. I mean, you're like tired. She's going to school still. They're masking up in school. You have to deal with that emotional stuff, going through drills even at school in case someone breaks in, and then having to deal with online versus live, and then going home. I got homework, and then I got to go to cheerleading again tonight, and then all this stuff. So you're dealing with a kid at seven having to deal with a lot of environmental factors, okay? But if you look at her right now, she is beginning to grow and beginning to change and develop emotional skills to help her thrive in circumstances that are not ideal for a seven-year-old, okay? So I am so proud of her right now when I look at her, and not only physically, I'm like, man, she's in shape, okay? Emotionally, getting better and struggling over some stuff, and what does that do? It translates to her spiritual walk and just her whole makeup on how she sees God and how she sees people, okay? So what am I saying to you? I'm saying there are stuff you may not want to do because you're tired and you don't want to do it. I'm telling you to get up and do it again because it could be the very thing that God's trying to do to strengthen your core, to stabilize you emotionally so that you can hold what God wants you to hold. Get out there and do it again. Be consistent with it. At seven, four nights a week. I mean, we got people, come on now. We want to fill any age people in here, but I'm tired. Well, what'd you do this week? Well, I went to work. Cool. Don't get in the mindset that says, that's all I do is work. Unhealthy. I've got to do something that helps my physical body, my emotional state. I'm telling you, I got to do something because it'll help expand my mind to think differently, and it'll release those endorphins in my mind so that I can have a feeling of satiety in my life. Help me, okay? That means that God wants to stretch you out of your normal routine, do something different that's going to stretch you. If you're not already stretched by now, come on. That's the one thing that we get real fired up about. I'm about to close, man. Come on up. Some of you are on this a minute 10, an hour 10. Come on, dude. That's American church. So if God wants to do something, we have to fit it into the 60, 70 minutes. So we can't move and we can't do stuff because people, their times, whoa, the time span's not. Can you not tarry an hour? An hour? We're over an hour. But, you know, God wants to move and he wants to pour out his spirit, but I got to go, bro. I'm hungry. And the Lord says, well, why don't you just stay with me and let me satisfy you? And so that when you go out to eat later, it's a better experience for you. Because you had me first, and then secondly, you had what you needed to have, and you engaged with other people, and that was great. But remember me, man, I could satisfy you. I think that's what we lost. We lost that. The satisfaction. Because we're looking at so many other things to satisfy us. Nothing wrong with enjoying stuff. I'm not saying that at all. We need to enjoy stuff. That's life. But you miss out on the satisfaction that comes in a relationship with Christ when we realize that he is the true bread of life. And everything else falls into comparison. So when I feel full with him, everything else is just dessert. I don't eat dessert first. It ruins my appetite. So I wonder how many of us were tapping into pleasure. Guys, can you lower him, please? We're tapping into pleasure and we're missing out on the real meal that we should be having with him. Because once we have that real meal, pleasure's just a side thing. I don't really need that no more. Because like, I enjoy it, but I don't really need that anymore. You know, that I don't have to sin that way no more. I don't have to compromise anymore there because you know what, man? We've been having such a, man, it's been so good here. I don't need that anymore. That's just, what do you need that you think you need, but you really don't need? If you'll just say, I'm yours. I need a relationship, man. I need to be in a relationship. I need intimacy. You know what I'm saying? And you don't realize that God said, you don't need that. I can help tame those emotions. I can help train your temperament to understand what it means to have a relationship with me. And then everything else will fall in the line. I don't need sex to fulfill me. I'm going there. I don't need it to fulfill me. I enjoy it. I don't need it to fulfill me. You know why? Because you know who fulfills me? He does. So when I recognize that first, everything else is enjoyable to me because I don't raise that up as something that I need for life. I don't idolize that because I already know who one is. So God wants me healthy. So if he wants me healthy, that means things have to adjust and change. So if I keep looking for things that are only temporary to satisfy me, I will never have a thriving relationship with Christ. Strongholds will never be broken off. Health will never be part of my life. I'll never bear fruit because everything else is trying to crowd in. I'm trying to plant other stuff in my life. I'm planting all that stuff. And God says, hold on one second. What about planting fruit? Like stuff that'll last. So that stuff, come on. It was about a couple years back, I went to the dentist, and they said, man, you got to get your wisdom teeth out. I said, all right, that's fine. I told you this years ago, guys. So if you ever had your wisdom teeth out, okay, it's like a barbaric experience, okay? It's not like one of the things like, oh, it's just so enjoyable, okay? So I went in, and I knew the doctor, and it was a friendly relationship, and as they began to numb me up and start to give me what I needed in order for that surgery to take place, because it's surgery. I want you to think about this process. It's very key today, because it's going to help you see what I believe that God's trying to do in your life. They start digging around the tooth, okay, in order to get it ready for extraction, because you can't just go in and just start breaking it off. So they start digging it out in order to soften it, okay? And as they start to soften it, then they go in and he starts to break up the tooth, because they don't just break it in one shot. He starts to break up the tooth. Sometimes the tooth breaks up and it's great, but mine were impacted like most people have impacted. And so they go in and he's doing that and he's starting to break the tooth up. And this is funny because when he's getting in there, he's not like pressing lightly. Like he's up on like on the chair, like getting in there. Like trying to get in there. And I'm like, dude, it's funny. You got it yet, bro? You know, so getting in there, like busting it up. Now he gets out and he busts the teeth up Now, because of my gag reflex, I caught the tooth from going back in my throat. I mean, we were so in sync. I mean, things were happening. I mean, I'm like, I'm in tune. I'm in tune with the doctor. I'm in tune with the Lord. I'm like, man, I ain't, stuff's happening, but we got stuff going on. I spit it out of my mouth, caught it, threw it down. I'm like, come on, let's keep going. I mean, we're having a time together. We're having a time. Now, he gets it out. It feels like, okay, it feels good. Not done yet, because the important part is coming. I got to get the roots. Because that's what's going to make you feel better when it's all said and done. I can't leave the roots in there. So he's got to go and he got to pull the roots out. So he didn't do this on one tooth, he did on three teeth. Pulling it out, man, it's great. So we're having a good old time. I'm bleeding. And, you know, he's talking to the dentist. You know, they have a conversation. And I'm listening to this whole thing. And I'm numbed up, so I don't feel much. But I can feel the pressure. The pressure is what finally broke the tooth. So he can get to the root. So when the roots got out and he got all three teeth and, you know, they go back in, they sew it up and the stitches dissolve. And so you don't feel it again. And then, you know, right now you feel great. You breathe better. There you had it. You feel good. And, you know, man, I feel great. Like there's space now in my mouth. Okay. You know, I'm not talking like this. You know, the space in my mouth, you know, I feel really good. And I began to think about the God's process with us and how God allows pressure to come into our life to start to dig up the fallow ground. Because he said there are some things I got to get to break them up. Because you're not seeing the way I want you to see. You're not believing the way I want you to believe. And you're still falling prey to that accusation that says this. So I'm going to get in there and that pressure is going to continue to come because I want that thing to break in your life. Notice how God does it. God doesn't just go for the root and rip it out because it'll kill you. It'll kill you. If God would just take stuff out of your life immediately, he is so good. He knows that I have to do it in stages. Because when I do it in stages, I know how to bring healing to counteract what I'm doing so that you make it. Because if I don't numb it, you won't make it. Hold on. Come on now. So God comes in and does it. And all of a sudden, you start feeling pressure, and you don't like the pressure, and you escape. You're like, I can't take the pressure. And God says, wait, this is, pressure is a privilege. So this is important for you. You got to learn to embrace this pressure because it's producing something in you, and I'm trying to get to something in you that I can't get unless this thing is applied to your life. So I'm going to lean into it. I got to lean into the low stuff. I got to lean into all of it so that once I break that and you're softened, then I can go in and start pulling the roots up. Root, oh, yeah, there it is. That root of rejection, there it is. I got it now. And you know what that looks like because it's like, oh! It's emotional. Because you begin to feel the sting of it, of what you went through and what it felt like. And God said, I'm trying to get that out so that I can fill it with me. So that the next time the enemy comes in and says, you are this, you'll say, no, I'm not. Because of what he did. It doesn't matter if I was abused. It does not matter if I was molested or left for dead. I know that he loves me and that he values me because you know what? The root of rejection is out. He pulled it out. It's because I allowed the pressure to break up the fallow ground so that he can get in and pull it out. Now, what happens is he comes in and brings the salve and sews it up. And even though there might be a scar, it doesn't affect me like it used to. It's just a reminder of God's goodness and God's grace. And I know that the best is yet to come. And so I can walk to know that I survived it. And that the enemy is a liar. And that you can step back. You can sit down. It doesn't matter. That it's produced power in me. Power, love. And when I walk, I know who I am. And so because I went through the process, pressure is good. It's good. Let him pull it out. I don't want it. I want it for you. Pull it out. I want to get to you so that you know you're loved and accepted. So the next time that I try to give you love and tell you that I love you, you can accept it knowing that I don't have a hidden agenda and that you know that I love you in spite of what you went through. I love you. You're crazy. I love you. so you can receive love from other people also and not be emotionally deficient. You can receive it from other people, but now you can receive it in the right place. You don't need it to sustain you. It's good because it helps you. It complements you, but you don't fawn over it anymore. You don't need it. It's no longer lust, and now it's love between me and you. He says, stop fawning over stuff. I'm pulling it out. I'm telling you right now, God is doing something supernatural. If you will just allow that pressure to get in there and allow it to break that thing open, you will walk in a new level of power and authority you never knew you had before, because it's always been there. It's just been buried. And you can look back and see, it was buried under this, it was buried under that, because all that stuff got in. And God says, when I do it so that other stuff doesn't get in. You've done things in your life and you've allowed other things to get in. You've caught stuff. You've caught diseases emotionally, sickness. And so what I'm doing is getting in to break it up, because then I counteract it with my love and I know how to heal so that it doesn't affect you in that way anymore. You're not drawn back to sickness. Come on now. You're not drawing back to stuff that is not good for you. Because you got a love that's unconditional, a love that's for you. And so when he draws near to you, you say, ah, my beloved's calling. Yes. That's why now, listen, oh man, that's why now when you deal with this idea of rejection, you ought to look out in the face and say, oh man, reject me, man. Just reject me. I'll sit right down in the middle of it. Because God, he even makes a table in the presence of my enemies. So the next time I feel like, oh, they're going to reject me. Because it's the pressure of what might happen allows me to get in there and allow God's strength to get in there and strengthen me to handle what it is. It doesn't matter. It's going to come. It might hurt. It might. But if you continue to run from it, how can you heal from it? You want to heal, but you don't want to hurt. You want power, but no pressure. We want financial health, but you know, we don't want to give. So when the enemy comes in this week and starts to throw those accusations on you and say, oh, no, you're not going to make it. You know what they're going to say? Tell him to shut up. I'm telling you, if you will just get firm, you will talk yourself into victory. But because you're so... You're right, I don't want to bother anybody. What happens is you end up losing because you don't use your mouth and the word that God has given you to throw it against him and tell him that he is a liar and stand up to him. That's what God is looking for him, right? Simba, Simba, growl. Guess who's behind you? Mufasa. Stop playing around with it. It hurts, I know. Get up in it. Don't you want to feel better? That's the issue. A lot of us, we're so comfortable with, I just feel good in this. It's comfortable. I feel good. But it's not productive for you. It's unhealthy. God wants to free you and loose you from roots and chains so that you can walk free and not walk backwards. But you have to confront it. Confront it. Yeah, that means doing it nervous. I'm nervous. Do it. I don't know what's going to happen. Do it. He's going to bring you to the edge and say, bro, this is it. This is the time. Go. This is the time. Go. God for a God who loves us, who continues to bring you back around when the door of the plane is open and says go. Because he wants you to jump. You're going to cry? I might cry. I might struggle. But you're in a struggle right now. This is the life of faith that we're in. I'm pulling up stuff and putting stuff in so that you can be who I've called you to be. My kids, my people. But I got to pull the roots up. I can't plant anything else in there if the roots aren't up. Come on, let's stand up. Weeks ago, we talked about deep calling unto deep. God's calling out some stuff, calling it up. And you're experiencing stuff and you're feeling stuff right now that may not be normal to you. It's okay. Because God is pulling up and calling up some stuff that he wants to deal with. And that means that it's going to cause you to have to make some adjustments and to see a side of you that maybe you have not seen. And it's not that you haven't seen it per se, but God has seen it. And God said, I need you to see this side of you. That's what's really in there. Because what's really in there is killing you. But also at the same time, there's beauty in there. There's beauty for ashes. There's the oil of joy for mourning. It's there. It's all there. The wells of salvation, they're already inside of you. I'm just pulling stuff up so you can see how much I have saved you from. Come on, church. Come on. Our church, not only who's called to be his bride, but like we said, to walk in power, love, and self-discipline. But that does not come unless there's confrontation. You don't win on the battlefield unless you draw your sword, put your shield up, and you go into battle. Well, I hope they negotiate a peace treaty. And that's what we have sometimes. I hope they can just sign something and it all goes away. God already did. He said, I am your peace. There's one mediator between God and man. I am Jesus Christ. But you got to get on the battlefield, take my victory with you. You got to confront some stuff. That's how it works here. I said before, you got to go after it. I'm going to say it again. Now, first one to peace wins. You don't get peace unless you bust through some stuff. When you got saved, that peace that came in your heart was because he busted through the hardness of heart and said, I want that. Now you have peace with God. But that peace now is something that you're learning not only to hold, but to continue to get, because there are other things now that I have to overcome that are still coming after me. The peace of God. I need that, but I have to continue to walk and get that. First, when I get through what I'm done going through, guess what? I get peace. Discipline produces peace. And God brings me through something else. And now the Bible says the peaceable fruit of righteousness. If you get there, you know what that looks like. I feel satisfied after that. Because I took it like a man. I got discipline. I took it like a man, just took it. Sometimes we don't want to get whooped. And it's not that God loves you any less. He says, I'm whooping you because I love you. I want to whip you into shape. I'm with you. Just hold. I want to whip you. I want your mind. I don't have all of it. I want all of it. So we're going to continue to gain ground. That's what God does. I want to continue to gain ground in different areas of your mind. Because you know you got the mind's there. There are different areas we got to get to. Because you compartmentalize. So we got to start getting that stuff. I got to get to different areas of your heart. This is the joy of getting up and doing it. Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your goodness. Lord, just to be free in you, just to speak freely and to talk about your goodness and your grace. Everyone in here right now, Show of hands. You can look at me. You don't have to look at me. You feel like God's putting some pressure on some areas of your life right now, just digging stuff right around it. Yeah, because you know he wants it. He wants it. Putting pressure in it so that it can finally break, so that you can see power as a result of it. Just pushing you through stuff. Sharon, just embrace the pressure. Just embrace it, because God said, I'm doing something in you. I'm changing your mind. I'm changing your heart. Just do it. For every person's hand is in here, Lord, right now, who's struggling with it, I thank you just for the strength to get up and stand up against it. Just like Jesus said in the garden, not my will, but your will be done. That they would understand that there's power in it. And if Jesus can do it, we can do it through his strength. Thank you for doing it afraid. Thank you for doing it not knowing what the outcome is going to be. But we can do it because we know that on the cross, you died so that we can have victory. And that today, we can walk in peace because of what Jesus Christ has done. And we thank you, God, for the best. And we know the best is yet to come in our life. In Jesus' name, amen.